Okay, so all of you have been doing your homework, yes? You've all been reading this book, Exodus? Whoa, are you enjoying it? It's from a different time, a different world. I remember when I was really first on my, a sort of journey of becoming a minister. I remember this, before I actually went to my wilderness, I'll be honest with you, I went and up to study and under one of these people whose brain, you kind of wonder how they can stay upright because their head is so bright. It's a guy called the Right Reverend, or no, he's just the Reverend Dan Beebe. And he said, you know, Stephen, Exodus, it's the whole thing. And I was like, what is he on? But he was actually a Taiwanese theologian. He'd lived in Taiwan. And he saw that the Exodus, you know, he would say pretty much everything that you want to know about Jesus, you can find in Exodus. It'd be fair to say he liked the book. And I've always sort of think of that. But the reason he liked the book is because actually it is the book that says what we believe in. Because if you think of the word Exodus, it actually means salvation. To be set free. What did Jesus say? He said, I have come that you might have a miserable life. I have come that you might go to work tomorrow and everything is a tricky moment. And he didn't say that. He said, I have come that you might have life. That you might be set free to be the women, the men, the people that you are. And to be full of me and that freedom that is me. Jesus, God is freedom. So the Exodus is there. Anyway, right, I could go on about that, but we're not even... Oh, can we have the PowerPoints up? Move on one more. Oh, I better stick to this or we could be here all night. Okay, so this we're into the introduction. We're into the introduction. You can read that and when you get to the summary, you'll think, hallelujah, he's finished. So how did they get there? Well, it's an interesting one because you could say they got themselves enslaved in Egypt. You've been looking at this for a couple of weeks now. And the beginning is that the people of God were enslaved in Egypt. Another way of looking at that, of course, is that they went to Egypt because they were starving. And going to Egypt was the place where they got food. The whole story of, you know, if you want to do your pre-homework... Read Genesis. And to be honest with you, even though Dan loved Exodus, the story of Joseph is one of the greatest story that got us here. It is just awesome. You know, what you intended for evil, Joseph said to his brothers, God intended for good. Wonderful verse of scripture. So anyway, they got there, they got to Egypt. Moses has led them out. You know, we've done the bit, and last week, Pauline ended with, you know, praise song. Actually, before I say anything else, thank you to the worship team. It's wonderful. It's the one thing that I guess I really miss about just being part of a church with a worship team that I can really just enjoy worshiping God. So thank you. I'm sure it glorified God, but it really lifted my spirit as well. So thank you. Anyway, where are we? Yeah. So... Moses led them out. It doesn't feel like life in its fullness. To wilderness for a whole generation, for 40 years. And that is the topic that I've been given, this wilderness, looking at chapters 16 and 17 of this incredible book of Exodus, thinking about our salvation. So, yeah. How did they get there? Enslaved or rescued? Moses... freedom, all of that stuff. But I think the key there in that introduction and what I want you to listen for and think for in your own heart, what is God using wilderness for? God uses wilderness to bring freedom, to bring true salvation. If you like, they got out of Egypt, but God needed to get Egypt out of them. And we'll see that a little bit more. Okay, so let's go to why are they in the wilderness? Next slide, please. Yeah, why are they in the wilderness? You don't have to worry about this for a while. This is quite a long bit. Okay, so why are they in the wilderness? I mean, you could answer, Pharaoh chased them. Yeah? Just one answer. Pauline ended last week when they got across the Red Sea, or the Reed Sea, and they had a song. Obviously, they had a guitarist, a singer, you know, microphones. They tambourines, actually, I think. Tambourines, hallelujah. But they worshipped. And in fact, that was the request that they had made to Pharaoh. Let us go so that we may worship. It's almost like a plea for Sabbath, isn't it, for a Sunday. You know, remember when, you know, the church that I used to be a part of over in Frampton Cottrell, that was formed by the miners in Iron Acton. You know, there they were working down in the mines. For goodness sake, let us have Sunday free so that we can worship. Let us go out to worship. Why are they in the wilderness? Perhaps because they grumbled. Now, of course, this is Resound. We don't grumble ever at Resound, right? Nothing, you know, as I get older, do you know, I'm not becoming as I would want to be, becoming more like Christ. That would be the aim. I'm becoming more like a grumpy old man. I'm studying it. I'm getting better and better. And that's not good, is it? It feels a bit like a wilderness at times. I can see what's wrong with everything. Can't fix a thing, but I can tell you what's wrong. So they're in the wilderness. They grumbled. Or they're in the wilderness. You could just say it's part of the story. It's part of the journey to get from Egypt back into the promised land that Abraham had been promised. It's all there in Genesis. Read it. It's great stuff. To get back to Canaan, to what we now call Israel, that place of great turmoil for which we pray, they had to go through the wilderness. It's what they had to do. So in a sense, as we think of wilderness, there's two parts really. There's the reality, it's simply the way through from captivity. But they're in the wilderness for 40 years. Because they grumbled, because they rejected their God. And God had to deal with that. And he chose wilderness to do that. For them to become the people of God. Just as for us to become, to grow as the people of God, God has to do some serious cleansing, refinement for us. Find out more at Pub Theology tonight. So in a sense, what I want to say to you, and this is what we don't like when we go through times of struggle, and you know, we will go through times of struggle. We all go through times of struggle. Jesus said, you know, follow me, pick up your happy days and follow me. Is that what he said? I mean, he did say life in its fullness, but he said that we have to walk the way of the cross. There are struggles. So what are they for? They are in order to bring formation, to bring Christ in us. It's really important for you to think about that. God wants to form his identity in the people of Israel. God wants to form Christ in you now. That phrase that is so common in the New Testament, take up your cross. You could hear that as go through the wilderness. Let me meet with you there. Right, next slide, please. So, it's one of these rhetorical questions of which you know the answer is both. Is the wilderness an opportunity or a challenge? Now, before we answer that, I'm just going to read some of the story to you. In my tradition, it's not a proper service unless you have a bit of the Bible. You just, you know, I'd be put out. So I thought we'd do a little bit of Bible. I'll just read you a little section from chapter 16, verse 30, and we'll go from there. So it starts off, bit of Sabbath. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so that they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come." You know, in a sense, see what I have done for you. I have provided. "As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan." And then in a sense, the wilderness bit, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin. That sounds like a really bad desert, doesn't it? All it really means is it's the desert of Sinai. So don't get too excited. It's just a place. Or is it? I'll leave you to think of that. They set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as Yahweh, as the Lord commanded them. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah, which means testing, and Meribah, which means quarreling, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So is God the one who's led me to this wilderness or not? Perspective and faith are absolutely vital. Now, when you've come through a test, and we've all, well, I hope many of you have had that experience, you can look back at it and you can almost see, oh yes, that was a great place of learning for me. But before you faced it, it felt extraordinarily daunting. Or maybe you go into a situation and you have great faith, and then the challenges that you face may become something that you relish. But there are times when you feel that your faith isn't quite up to what the day requires of you. And let's be honest, many of us, most of us, shrink initially when we're pushed out of our comfort zones. It's one of the things that I've learned as a minister over the years. We all have different comfort zones. It's why we're actually community, because together we have a stronger comfort zone. But individually, it's amazing the little things that will completely knock someone out. And as we face those things, there's no doubt about it. That sense of wilderness, that sense of you're asking me to do something that I'm not comfortable with. It's an enormous challenge, but it can make us grow. And perhaps that's the first test as we think of wilderness, is to accept at times, and you know, I've stood with people, I've prayed with people as they've gone through, you know, difficult times. People die, and it's not always nice. And it's like, what do we do about that? What do we do? Don't get me wrong, I quite like happy, clappy church. There's nothing wrong with being happy. And if we can't clap God, who can we clap? But if happy, clappy church means that we cannot face the realities and the struggles, and one of the things is to be able to say that the wilderness is where God wants us to be. It's really, that's not an, I can say it in a sermon, but it's not easy. When you're going through a struggle, when someone that you love or you yourself, health things, whatever it might be, to stop for a moment and say, okay, God, this is where I am. You want me to be here and you want to use this for good. The Israelites failed that test. They grumbled. They looked back to Egypt with rosy-tinted spectacles. I love this. I really love this. In chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. So this is a people that had been slaves, right? They had been slaves. Would you like to not be a slave? I would like to not be a slave. Or would you like to go back to being a slave? I want to go back to being a slave. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death. It's like when we were back in Egypt as slaves, we had bucket loads of meat to eat. Really? I mean, they even get excited at one point, isn't it, about cucumbers? It's a bit like being excited about Brussels sprouts. I mean, right, anyway, it is a challenge, but do you believe that God can work through whatever challenges you're facing to do what he wants in you, to bring new life to you? Next slide, please. What have the Israelites ever done for us? What have the Romans ever done for us? What has wilderness ever done for us? It's interesting. This is here in Exodus. It's part of your story these weeks as you go through Exodus. But actually, the idea of wilderness is a recurring theme. And interestingly, if you want to look at it on a big biblical scale, it is a theme that is not for chaos. It is for preparation. If you look at the biblical images of chaos, one of my favorite is Leviathan. Not to be messed with. I was talking to a friend last week who was supposed to have been up in Australia. And they were supposed to have gone up to the north coast, but there were the floods. And they were rung up by the people they were going to and said, I wouldn't come. And it's like, why not? He said, well, all the roads and everything has flooded and the crocodiles no longer know the difference between a road and a river. And then he said that, and he is a dog owner and a dog lover and I am a dog owner and a dog lover, and they're eating the dogs. Leviathan, people often think might have been the sort of crocodile, but it's a big one in the Bible. Chaos, the sea, but wilderness is not for that chaos. Wilderness is time and again a time for preparation. Perhaps one of my favorite characters, Elijah, he goes broken into the wilderness, but it becomes a meeting place with God. Even if you go back to Hagar earlier when she's kicked out, terrible, fascinating story. The wilderness becomes a meeting place. Moses himself, he's already been through the wilderness in order to come back, to be restored from his confusion. Jesus started his ministry with wilderness. Even Paul, you could argue, Jacob, the list is almost endless. God seems to use wilderness. So wilderness is a meeting place. It's a place where God gets our attention, strips us back so that we realize our need for God. I don't know about you, but I didn't do particularly well in COVID. I was fine, but it was weird. It was weird, and you know, I was allowed to do this, not allowed to do that, and oh. You know, at one point it got me back to my inner place with God, though. To my one-on-one place. Pub theology, it's good for yourself to be one-on-one with God. If you're going through a time of struggle, make sure you make time to make it become a place of meeting with God. However broken you may feel, let that become the time. It's also a place where we can reflect. Gives us a chance to be honest. I love it when Elijah is in the wilderness, and one of my favorite stories, as I say, in the Bible. You know, what does God say to Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I'm the only one and they've all left, and what are you doing here? I'm with you. It's not something that I'm particularly good at, reflecting. But look at what is happening to you. Look at the things that are causing you the struggles. What is God doing in those things? What is God saying to you in those things? Share with another. What is going on in this? You know, the reality is, as Christians, Mike referenced the Catholic confessional earlier. We do need to do that. Not necessarily with it. We have one high priest, we believe, but we need to be honest with one another so that we can help one another to really know, what is God doing with this? You know, I'm doing this job. I thought it was right, but it's going nowhere. What is God doing in that? Be honest with someone. That's what we are for as church, to help you be what God wants to bring in you. It's an amazing thing, this story of wilderness that you've got. There's some incredible realities that are brought out. You know, they're in the wilderness. What isn't there in the wilderness? Water. God provides. Food. You know, we often think about the manna, don't we? And the manna's good. It's a taste of honey with coriander bread. I could have it for breakfast every day for 40 years. If it was Shreddies, I'd be fine. But he doesn't just provide manna. He provides quail in the evening. There's a richness. God knows our needs. We can feel that there is nothing at times, but God knows what you need. Think of it. Learn to give thanks for what God does give. It's one of the principles, I think, that gets us through and builds God in us. Learning to say thank you. 1,000 and 1,000 more alleluias. Praise the Lord. Shreddies again today. So in that, what I'm trying to say in all of that is wilderness, times of struggle, walking the way of the cross. In a sense, thinking, okay, this is not necessarily what I would want, but what do you want, Lord? Is God's means of formation. Wilderness is a powerful metaphor of cleansing and refining. We're being stripped clean. And in effect, that is because that is the ultimate exodus, the ultimate salvation is to be set free to become who you really are. You know, I could say I'm many things. I even put a picture of family up beforehand and all of that stuff. But who am I? Who are you? You're a daughter of God. You're a child of the living God. And sometimes we get all this stuff that gets in the way. I often have to talk with people who've, in fact, one of my close friends has just been told they've got cancer. And, you know, I've had that experience myself. It wasn't in my case. I was lucky at that point, if you like. But that's a real refining moment. Who am I? What am I for? I am a son of the living God. And I am being set free to participate with God in what? The formation of Christ in me and the kingdom of God to be advanced. That is what we're for. That is the life that is full that God is inviting us to. For God to bring that in us, for us to grow up into that, there will be times of wilderness. There will be times, if you like, of that stripping back, getting back to the point of who we are. I think the good news is that brings us to the summary. Hey, really important point to make. God never promised that there would be no wilderness. He doesn't say, I've come that you might have life that is comfortable and easy every single day. Yes, that you may have full life, but that life is as we walk the way of the cross, as we give ourselves to others, as we give ourselves to God. And perhaps the important point that I haven't really made fully at this point is, how did they get through that wilderness? God was with them. Even when they drove God mad, I love the story, it's up and down, you can sort of feel God doing that, you can certainly feel Moses doing that. Moses doesn't get to go to the... Sorry, am I doing spoiler alert for another week? I'll stop. But even though we mess up, even though we don't understand the struggles and turn back to God for what we should do, God never leaves or forsakes them. The manna keeps on coming. The quail is there. But most important, there is nothing that can separate you or I from the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. You know, we will go through times of struggle. We will go through death. That is not the end in our faith. God is Emmanuel. He is with us. That is the assurance which helps us to get up each day and say, right, what are you doing, God? How can I walk with you today? Please bring your love in me so that I can bring your blessing and your love to whoever you lead me alongside. Who do I need to break the manna with today? Who do I need to share your water with today as you share with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we can't quite get our head round all that you've done for us on the cross. You have offered us salvation just as clearly as Moses led the people out of slavery. But Lord, just as those people had to work out that exodus, work out that salvation, so you are calling us to work out our freedom in you as we go through these times of testing and even sometimes as we respond with quarreling. So Lord, thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to be our helpers. Thank you that you send people to stand alongside us and lift up our arms when we are going through the greatest struggles. Thank you that you give us one another and that you will never leave us. So Lord, I pray your blessing on your church here. May there be times of refreshment and joy, even as they know that you are with them through any challenges. For you are our God, and we worship you. Amen.